Chodesh Tov. Happy Hanukkah. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedula Chemincha, Tati Tzerura. Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Taf Tzadi. And the two letters of the month of Tevet, Ayin, which created the constellation Gedi, the Capricorn, and the Bet, which created the planet Saturn, Shabtai. Together, they have a gematria of 72, which is the level of Chochmah, the level of wisdom, the level of intuition. Kabel rinat abcha sagvenu taharenu nora. Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. Two words, kra satan, tear up the satan, eliminate the negativity. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, small gates, to remind us by protecting the gates in our head, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth, we can keep the Satan out of our life. Na Gibor Dor Shechudcha Keva Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet, a sequence that has a gematria of 57, which stands for Parnasa, sustenance. The Hebrew word is actually Zan, Zion Nun. Yud Kaf Shin, a sequence that we can utilize to take back the negative, or the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem rachamei sidkatcha tamid gamlem betetresh tzadi tafkimo. Chasin kadosh Berotuvcha Nael Adatach. Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach. Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot. Shin Kuf Vav, Tzadi Yud Tav. These six letters can be utilized to help manifest our images and our visions of how we want our life to be. And the last word we say in a whisper, the last verse, the eighth verse, we say in a whisper, Baruch Shem Kavod Mahato Le'olam Vayed. Before I start reading tonight from the Zohar, does anybody have any questions? I'll be reading from the Zohar, the section, the parsha of Miketz, section 9, titled, And Yosef Remembered the Dreams. The verse number is 130. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kudeneyem Adonai Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kudeneyehu Vayizkor Yosef Ech HaChalomot Asher Chalam Lachem V'Gomer Rabbi Chiya Petach V'Yamar Bin Pol Oyevcha Al Tizmach V'Bikash Lo Al Yager Libecha Tachatzei Kutcha Berichu Avad Lei Lebarnash V'Yizkei Likara Dilei Ulshamasha Kamei Tadira U'ishtadla V'Yoraita Yemama V'Leilei Begin Dekutcha Berichu Itreba Beoraita Tadir. And Yosef remembered the dreams which he had dreamed. Bereshit, chapter 42. Rabbi Chiya opens the discussion with the verse, Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Mishle, chapter 24. Come and see. The Holy One, blessed be He, created man so that he would be worthy of His glory, serve Him always, and be occupied with the Torah day and night. Because the Holy One, blessed be He, ever takes delight in the Torah. Verse 132. The Kevan Divra Kucha Berichu Le Adam Yachav Kame Oraita Violef Le Balaminda Archarcha Minalan Dikti Vazra'a Vesap Ra Hekina Vegam Hakara Uvatar Veyomer Le'adam hen yirat Hashem hi hachma Lesur meiram bina Kevan v'istakal ba v'lanater La'avar al pekuda Le'marei v'itpas v'chovei When the Holy One, blessed be He, created Adam, He put the Torah before him and taught him how to know its ways. How do we know this? From the words, Then he saw it and declared it. He established it, yea, and searched it out, which is followed by, And to man he said, Behold the fear of Hashem, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Eov, chapter 28, Job, chapter 28. Because he inquired into her, but did not keep her, he transgressed the command of his master, and was caught for his sin. This verse from the book of Job is talking about, Job was a righteous man. He learned Torah, but he did not live Torah, and therefore he was caught as a sinner. And the Zohar has a number of midrashims associated with Job, because the book of Job is very difficult to understand how a righteous man who studied Torah day and night and did all the mitzvot, many of the mitzvot, did all these good things, and yet he was punished by losing everything and having all kinds of chaos in his life. And we come to understand what the message was ultimately, the Zohar says the reason that, that Job was punished was because he never gave the negative side any of its due. We need to tithe the 10% of our money away. We also need to give the first piece of some of what we receive to the negative side. Learning all of these spiritual laws helps to protect us, which is what the study of Torah is about. But it's not the end all. Study is not sufficient by itself. We must practice the study. We must do the actions as prescribed by the study. Verse 132. V'kol inun diavru al mila hada dioraita it pasuva shalomo malkadi chacham al kol b'nei alma avar al mila hada dioraita garim leilit avara malchute mine. Ulit palga malkuta min beno mandia avar aloraita alahat kama vikama. All those who transgress one precept of the Torah are caught for it. King Solomon, who was wisest among all the people in the world, transgressed only one precept of the Torah. That was having too many wives, and caused his kingdom to pass on from him, because, as the sages said, Ashmedeh made an ignorant man of him and caused his kingdom to be divided from the time of his sons. This is even truer for those who transgress many precepts of the Torah. Verse 133. The name Ashmedeh is the king of the demons. And Solomon, it is said, was able to trick Ashmedeh and have him reveal the secret of the particular worm that could cut the stone that was used by the temple Midrash, the temple, because the stone could not be cut by anything of iron, because it would leave a residence, a residue having to do with judgment on a place that was totally merciful. So the head demon, Ashmodai, gave the secret of the worms over to Solomon. But in return, Solomon was also made into an ignorant man by the same demon. There was a trade-off. They both learned things. They both limited each other. There was no clear victor in the war, and there is always a war with the negative side. Verse 133. V'yosef dechava yada oraita v'yachoy naklu bidei amai gilgel alayhu kol gilgula da v'cha ihu yada oraita diolif le'avo ela chet vav v'yosef gilgel alayhu gilgulin Benachma Manaihu Ela Koldala Avad Ela Leata Leachucha Binyamin Legabe Beteute Hava Legabe Vihula Shavak Leacho Lemin Pal Dehaketi Vayetzav Yosef V'malu et kelechem v'argomer v'kol dach v'gin delayim pelun. He asked, Yosef knew the Torah and her words, you shall not avenge nor bear any grudge. Vayikra, chapter 19. Why then, when his brothers fell into his hands, did he bring upon them all these things when he knew the Torah his father had taught him? He replied, Heaven forbid to think that Joseph took revenge upon them. He did it only to bring his brother Benjamin to him, for he longed for him. He did not leave his brothers wanting, as it is written. Then Joseph gave orders to fill their sacks with grain, so they would not come to grief. The verse is talking about a question that should occur to everyone. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He's aware of it. And he is now the second in command of all of Egypt. He's in charge of the treasury, he's in charge of the army, he's in charge of every aspect of Egyptian life, including he had the people circumcised. The Egyptians were circumcised in that generation. So we struggle and ask the question, why did Joseph make his brothers suffer? Was he bearing a grudge? Remember, he's called righteous. He's a tzaddik. But he's making his brothers suffer. Why is he doing it? And this verse gives an explanation. Well, he wanted to see his brother Benjamin. But that certainly should not satisfy us. So let's read on. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kad Barakhu Chabarichu Lesichara Hava Istakal Batadir Badiktiv Tamid Ene Hashem Elohecha Ba Ishkahuta Dile Ba Tadir Uktiv Azira Dehashim Shabi Ashkahuta Dilei ba atneher vayasach ra mai vayasap ra kimadiat amer mekom sapir avanecha. Rabbi Yehuda continued with the verse. Then he saw it. Verse from Job, chapter 28. When the Holy One, blessed be He, created the moon, the Nukva, he beheld her constantly. As it is written, the eyes of Hashem, your Elohim, are always upon it. Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 11. For she was constantly under his care. It is written, then he saw that the sun, Zeranpin, by looking at the Nukva, became illuminated, for he does not receive sight, which is the secret of Chokmah, except when he is united with the Nukva. He asks in the phrase, and declared it, the Hebrew word is Vaisapera. What does Vaisapera mean? He answers, the same as in the verse, the stones of it are the place of sapphires. The Hebrew word is Sapir, or Sefer, or Sephirah. It is derived from the Sephirot and illumination. Hekina dihi yadva betikuna bitresar bechumin bitpalga beshivin beskesirin Atkein la b'shavya ma'samchin ila'in let'ibtachara Uyadva al shalimu vegam hakara liashkaha ala tadir mzimna batar zimna dila patesel lialmin. He established it together with her mendings so she would be divided into 12 groups and be given to the 70 angels. He fixed for her 7 supernal pillars through which she would receive light and exist in wholeness. The phrase "and searched it out" means he searched her out and attended to her always so that the other side will not nourish itself from her. So an esoteric verse trying to describe the 7 lower sephirot and how they nourish the nukva, and how, what does it mean when the nukva is in exile, and all of these different approaches and understandings of these levels of hakmah for the people. Verse 136. Uvatar asharle lebar nash viamar vayomer leadam hein yirat Hashem. Hi hachma besur meira bina bechei midat ra al tatai viladachala uminda le lekucha beritu Begina v'sor meira bina beriru mipsaluta delala mikrav bechade ugein ishkachuta debina min minda uistachla kekarav lemalka ila'a. He then warned man thus, and to man he said, behold, the fear of Hashem, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. A verse in Job, chapter 28. Because of the fear of Hashem, the nukva is adorned with all the lower ones, so they will learn to fear and know Hashem through her strength. She is therefore hakma, and to depart from evil is understanding. Bina. The separation of pollution so it will not approach holiness is the purpose of the existence of Bina, that is, the knowledge and beholding of the glory of the highest king. I'm not sure what this verse is teaching. It's indicating that Bina, the purpose that Bina serves, is to keep evil separated from holiness. And that through discernment and understanding, we can achieve this level of knowing what's coming. Verse 137. Rabbi Yosef Kambaleya Hadli Ishtadla Bioraita Bahavatamanime Had Yudai Diara Bebehahu Beta Petach Rabbi Yose Viamar Lo Yoilu Otzrot Resha Utstaka Tatil Mimavet Lo yo ilu otrot resha ileni nun de la mashtadle beoraita beazle batar mile di alma ulmin dash otrin de chiyuva maketiv veavar haomer haosher hahu beinyan ra Pagnikin deinun utrot resha. Rabbi Yossi rose one night to study the Torah. There happened to be a Jew there whom he met in that house. Rabbi Yossi opens the discussion with the verse, "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness, which is also charity, delivers from death." Mishle, chapter 10. The word is actually tzedakah. Tzedakah delivers from the death, as we've been taught. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing are those who are not occupied with the study of the Torah, but follow worldly matters and gather wicked treasures. Of them it is written, "But those riches perish by evil adventure." A verse from Kohelet, chapter 5. "Because they are wicked treasures." Verse 138. "Utzdaka tatzil memavet, ilein dimishtadle, v'yoraita, v'yadin orchaha, v'yishtadla, va, deha oraita, etz chaim, ikre v'it kiriyat." Tzedaka, diktiv, utzdaka, tihie, lanu devar echer, utzdaka, tatzil, mimaveta, tzedaka, mamashu vitrein, begeganin, ihu vitrein, sitrin, kareve, araita, kare, be, tzedaka, bekor, the kolachad. "But righteousness delivers from death" refers to those who are occupied with the study of the Torah and know how to study her ways. For Torah is called the tree of life and righteousness, as it is written, "And it shall be accounted righteousness in us." Devarim chapter 6. Another explanation of the righteousness delivers from death is that it refers to charity given to the poor. There are two ways to read and understand it. The word righteousness may be understood as the Torah, or it may simply mean charity, yet all is one. The verse is explaining that tzedakah can be understood in multiple ways, all of which are true and correct. So righteousness can be the study of Torah, or it can be the giving of tzedakah. Verse 139. Amar hahu yudai v'kare be shalom, amar rabbi yose hakehu, v'dai v'ikre shalom. Kam hahu yodai v'ishtataf b'chadei, petach hahu yodai v'yamar oved admato. Yoshva lachem umladef, rekim yoshva resh, Haikira kashya, v'ki shlomo malka dihu. Lachemu radef rekim yishpa resh, haikira kashya, v'ki shlomo malka dihu. Hakim mikol b'nei alma, heich amar v'yishtadal, barnash lama aflach, ara uishtadla, b'nei alma heich amar d'ishtadel, varnash l'mivdlach, ara uishtadla, uvatra heich v'ishvon t'ayin, chayei alma." The Jew said, "You may read in the word righteousness the meaning of peace." Rabbi Yossi said to him, "Assuredly she is called peace. The Jew rose to study the Torah with him. The Jew quoted the verse, "He who tills his land shall have plenty of bread, but he who follows after vain persons shall have poverty enough." A verse from Mishlei, Proverbs. This verse is difficult to understand. How could King Solomon, who was the wisest of all men, say that a man should strive to cultivate the earth, till it and neglect everlasting life? This is the constant discussion. If I'm supposed to study Torah, then any time I take away from the study of Torah is for me wasted, because my job in this world is to study Torah. And other people are supposed to do the physical work, and the money that they earn support the Torah study. So what should one do? Support Torah study or be the Torah study? And this verse is talking, answering it, trying to resolve it. Verse 140. Ela raza ihu patach v'yamar v'yikach Hashem Elokim et ha'dam v'yanihenu b'gan Eden l'avda u'shamra v'yoknuha b'raza d'kishar banim ihu trachate v'yavda Da Malka Ila'a Usha Amra Da Malka Tata Ila'a Ila'a. The Alma Tata Ali Avda Beraza de Zachur Usha Amra Beraza de Shamor. He replied, "Here is a mystery." He then quotes the verse, "And Hashem Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to till," which is using a word that could be said to worship it and to keep it. It has already been explained that it refers to worship by sacrificing. Come and behold. To till it is the upper king, that is, refers to the drawing of plenty of blessings from the upper king, Zerantim. And to keep is the lower king, that is referred to the keeping of plenty received by the lower king, the Nukva. The verse refers to the further world, Zerantim, and the lower world, the Nukva. He further explains that to till it is in the secret of remember, Zerantim, and keep it is in the secret of keep, the Nukva. Therefore, in the first tales of the testimony, it is written, "Remember the Shabbat day," and in the second tables of the testimony, it is written, "Keep the Sabbath day." Verse 141. Ugin kach oved ad mato dagan eden. The Yitzterich Lemebad Umiflach Ulam Shaka Labirkan Milela Lekadit Barka the Itmasuka Labirkan Milela Ihuname Itbarech Bechada Tachate Lekahana Dimvarech Mitbarech Kaf Dalet Aleph Yani Avarachem Uvgin Kach Oved Admato Yisbalechem Dahu Mezona Dilela Umvardef Reikim Mandit Vabak Besitra Acharadi Hu Beradef Reikim Yisbarish Vadai Amar Rabbi Yosei Zaka'a Ant Zakit Lachai Ma'ika Mila. Therefore, he that tills his land refers to the Garden of Eden in the Nukva, for man should work and draw blessings on it from Zerunpin above. When it is blessed and blessings pour on it from above, man is blessed with it. Come and see, when the priest blesses, he is also blessed, as it is written, and I will bless them. Hence he that tills his land to draw plenty on the Nukva shall have plenty of bread, nourishment from above, which he earns by his work, for he who blesses is blessed. But he that follows vain persons, he who cleaves to the other side, which follows vain persons, surely shall have poverty enough. Rabbi Yossi said to him, happy are you to have merited this. Verse 142. Tu patach v'yamar kara avat reish emunot rav berachot dahu barnash dim hem nuta v'kudshabariku v'gon rabbi yesa Sava dea falgav dehavale mechla dehahu yomad lemechal lahava mitkin le al ashael ad yitishael el mazone kame malka kadisha devatar vitzale slote vishael mazone kame Malka kedin hava metakin v'chava amar tadir La nanatkin ad yintenun mibei malka. He then cited a verse that comes after the verse. He that tills his land, it is a faithful man, shall abound with blessings, which alludes to a man who has faith in the Holy One, blessed be he, such as Rabbi Yeso Saba, the elder, who though he had food for that day, did not set the table before praying for food before the holy king. After praying and asking for nourishment from the king, he would set the table. He always said, let us not set the table until nourishment is given from the king's house. If one lets Hashem provide, instead of trying to make it happen on their own, then Hashem will provide. But if one starts to try and make things happen on their own, Hashem steps back and says, oh, you can do it, go ahead. And that's when the chaos comes in, and that's not always that the upside works.
Verse 143.
But he who makes haste to be rich shall not go unpunished, because he did not want to study the Torah, which is life in this world, and life in the world to come. Now is the time to be occupied with the Torah. Let us do so. Verse 144. Patachahu gavra berazade chelma v'yamar ויזכור יוסף את החלומות אשר חלם בכם וגומר. ויזכור יוסף את החלומות וכי יוסף עמי עד קר לו נינון חלומות תחלם לכו ומי סגיה ואילו לה עד קר לכו לכו. Yosef Hachim Hava Uktiv Chal Arum Yaseb Da'atz Uksil Yifros of Ivelet. The man opened with the mystery of the dream. He said, and Yosef remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. He asked about the words, and Yosef remembered the dreams. Why did Yosef remember the dreams he had about them? What would have happened if he forgot them? As Yosef was wise and studied the verse, a prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays bare his folly. The Torah tells us that Yosef remembered the dreams of the baker and the wine steward, one in which he forecast and prophesied that the one would die, and one that would live. And that's what actually happened. But all this time, all these 22 years, Joseph is not really remembering the dreams. It's only at this point that he remembers the dream. How do we know that? Because the person who revealed the Zohar was on a level that he could go up into the upper worlds and ask him. And he would remember what he was thinking at a given moment in time and pass that information over to us. I'm trying to see where I left off the verse. I believe it's 145. Aval kevan dechama dinun ito v'sa've. Le'apin alara v'deinard idkar nima. Dechalam lecho kad hava indhon. Diktiv v'hine kama, alumati v'gam naitzava, v'hine tesu b'na, alumotechem v'tishtachavena, la'alumati v'shata, dechama dekarin, acho kame diktiv v'yavo, ויבואו אחי יוסף ישתחוו לא אפיים ארצה כדין ויזכור יוסף את החלומות אשר חלם דחחמה דחבו חמי. He replies, when Yosef saw them bowing before him with their faces to the earth, he remembered the dream he dreamed about them, as it is written, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and bowed down to my sheaf. For when he saw his brothers prostrating themselves before him, as it is written, and Yosef's brothers came and bowed themselves down before him with their faces to the earth, then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed. He saw them coming true. Thus, when Joseph remembered the dreams, mean that he saw that they came true. Verse 146. Tu yizkor Yosef et hachalomot, asher chalam adka, lon begin delet nashu, kameku chabarichu, Ale. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed can also mean that he was reminded of them, because there is no forgetfulness before the Holy One, blessed be he. A man should remember a good dream so it is not forgotten, for then it is realized. But if it is forgotten by him, it is forgotten above and does not come true. Elsewhere in the Zohar, it was explaining this by saying that if a man doesn't remember his dreams, the dream still comes true, because the dream is a connection to prophecy, so it is forecasting the future. But it doesn't come true. It comes true, but the man doesn't know it's coming true because he's forgotten the dream. And therefore, he never makes that connection. But sometimes we remember a dream, or sometimes we see the event, and then we remember the dream, and that's, making the connection between the dream and what it told us, and the people involved. We are running out of time to finish this section. It's quite long. So I'm going to only read the English for the next few verses. Verse 147. Come and see, a dream that was not interpreted resembles an unopened letter, for the dreamer does not derive any benefit from it. Come and see. He who does not remember the dream acts as if he did not know how to interpret it. Therefore, whoever forgets his dream and cannot recall it will find his dream unfulfilled. Joseph there dreamed his dream and never forgot it, so it would come true. He waited it for all the time, 22 years. He said to them, "You are spies." Although he remembered the dream, he said nothing except, "You are spies." He didn't tell them that he was Joseph, their brother. He recognized them, but they did not recognize him. Verse 148. Rabbi Yossi continued with the verse, "For a dream comes through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." Kohelet chapter 5. He explained that a dream comes through a multitude of business means there are many who help the dream endure, including chiefs and grades upon grades, for some dreams are all truth, and some contain both truth and lies. That is, one part will come true, and another will not. But the truly righteous are shown no lies in their dreams. They are shown only truth. And elsewhere in the Zohar it says that every dream has some aspect of lie. So how do we reconcile these two? It's understanding that the part of a dream that is a lie is not remembered when the dream comes true. Think about that for a while. Verse 149. Come and behold, it is written of Daniel, "Then to Daniel in a vision of the night," another phrase meaning a dream, "the secret was revealed. And Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay upon his bed. Then he wrote his dream. Had the dream contained lies, the book of Daniel would not be among the scriptures. But when the souls of the truly righteous ascend during sleep, only holy beings join them. These holy beings tell them true words, enduring words that never lie." Verse 150. You may say that King David never had a good dream. It may be concluded that he saw untrue things. Yet in fact he was full of kindness and the grace of Hashem. He answers, "Surely it was because he spent his days shedding blood and engaging in war. Thus all his dreams were bad dreams about destruction, waste, blood, and bloodshed, and not peaceful dreams." verse 151. It may be asked how a good man could possibly be shown a bad dream. He replies, surely all the evil is destined to cleave to those who transgress the words of the Torah, and the punishment destined for them in the world of truth was seen by King David, so that the fear of his master will be upon him at all times. This settles the question how he could have been seen untrue things. He saw them in relation to sinners, for whom they were real. He was shown this to arouse the fear of heaven in him. It has been said with regard to the verse, and Elohim does it so that men should fear before him, that it is a bad dream which causes a man to be fearful. A righteous man is therefore shown a bad dream, as we have already said. Verse 152. Come and see. We have learned that when a man has a dream, he should speak about it. He should seek an interpretation for it before his friends, whose wishes will be favorable toward him, and whose words will be expressed for his good. Thus their wishes and words will be for the good. Their wishes, which is thought, namely Chachmah, is the beginning of everything of the Sefirot, and the word, namely Malchut, is the completion of everything of the Sefirot. Thus it is made whole by the supernal mystery, because of the presence of the beginning and the end of the Sefirot, and all of it comes true. Moreover, they ask for compassion for that man, and ask that the good interpretation they gave will endure. Thus all is as it should be. Verse 153. The Holy One, blessed be He, then lets each man interpret his dream according to his worth and grade. The Jew said, assuredly the dream is but for the righteous man who sees dreams properly. Verse 154. Come and see. When a man sleeps in his bed, his soul departs and roams in the world above. It enters wherever it can in camps of spirits that hover in the world meet the soul. If that man is righteous, the soul ascends and sees good things. If he is not righteous, the soul holds to the other side and is told lies or things that will happen in the near future. Verse 155. Therefore, a man who is not righteous is shown a good but truthful dream, so that he will turn away from the truth. Once he turns, he is defiled, for whoever comes to be purified is purified, and whoever comes to be defiled is defiled. Assuredly, this is so, as we have already learned. These verses are just talking about how like connects to like in the spiritual work. So opposites do not attract. So if someone says something false, then their false part of the dream is what they are connecting to. And if someone says something truthful, they're connecting to the positive part of the dream, no matter what their true intentions are. What your consciousness at a given instant is what this is all about. Verse 156. They sat till dawn, Rabbi Yosef said. Surely the name of Yosef was not mentioned among the standards. It is written, the standard of the camp of Ephraim, rather than the standard of the camp of Yosef. The reason for this is what he exalted himself above his brothers, as we have already learned. 157. The exalting above his brothers was what he did as a small boy, when it's not even close to being true. And Joseph paid the price by being sold into slavery for that. 157. The Jew said, "Surely I have heard that Yosef is of the world of the male, being of Yesod of Zeranpin. And all the tribes were of the world of the female, namely the Shekinah. Yosef therefore had no part in the standards, being of the world of the male, which was why it was necessary for Jacob to adopt the children of Yosef to conclude the tribes with." Verse 158. It is written, "We," the Hebrew is Nachanu, "are all one man's sons." He asks, why is it written Nachnu instead of the standard form Anachnu? Why is the Aleph missing? He answers, because the secret of the covenant, which is Yosef, was not among them. The Aleph was gone, and it was written Nachnu. Thus, because the Aleph is male and Bet is female, the Aleph Yosef was gone, and only the female letters of Nachnu remained with the Shekinah, which contains the secret of the tribes. Verse 159. They later said, "We," the Hebrew is Anachnu, "are true men," with the letter Aleph added. They said it, yet knew not what they said, for it was because of Yosef that they uttered the complete word Anachnu. How do we know this? From the verse, "And they said, your servants are 12. We are Anachnu, brothers," including Yosef. Thus, when Yosef was included, they said Anachnu. And when he was not, they said Nachnu without the Aleph. Verse 160. Rabbi Yosef said, "All the things we have said delighted the Holy One, blessed be he, because the Shekinah did not depart from here." This is in accordance with the verse. Then they who feared Hashem spoke to one another, and Hashem hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared Hashem and took heed of his name. Means that the people were remembering him, so he would not disappear. That's the end of section 9. It's also the end of our time together. Does anybody have any questions? If not, I will hopefully see you next week. On Tuesday night, we will have the beginning class conclusions. On verse 2, we very possibly could build and continue this same section. On Wednesday night, we will continue our discussions of the Tree of Life, speaking about the Sphira of Gevurah. And on Thursday, we will read from the Parasha of Vayigash. Shabbat Shalom, Kodesh Tov, Hag Sameach. We look forward to seeing you this Shabbat.